Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up March 27th through the 29th in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you today?
I'm living in grace.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's a rainy day outside here in San Antonio, but we are we're dry and we're happy and we're fed and and we're ready to talk about some stuff that sometimes when we start some of these programs, Stephen, I go, okay, is this going to help anybody? And invariably, it ends up helping somebody.
Somebody out there might get some help from the show.
But this,
so if you're the person, let us know.
But this particular broadcast is going to be sort of a hodgepodge, mishmash. Why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to
do? Yeah, I thought it was time to do a year in review with Jonathan and Stephen. 2014, what has the Lord taught you? What have you learned?
And we're a little late, but hey, you know, that's kind of how it
rolls. Yeah, we're doing it in January 2015, but it's a good time to look back. So if Jonathan is on a growth mission, and I'm on a growth mission, and you're on a growth mission, that's why you're listening to podcasts, then periodically, we should just stop and share, how's your growth mission going? Mm-hmm. Because what we know with sexual addiction is people are stunted. They are not growing. They're frozen with immature emotions, and they're not on a growth mission.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about growth is that it's measurable to some. There's certain things that are easier to measure than others, but if you're not actually taking a look to measure growth, then you kind of don't know if you're growing. And that's why I think community is so essential,
mm-hmm.
because when we come together as men, as couples, as families, we're able to look into each other's lives and ask one another, hey, how are you doing in these particular areas? And what has been happening in your heart, in your mind, in your work, in your ministry, and in your relationships? And then I think we get a better gauge of whether or not the things that we intend to do are the things we're actually doing.
Yes, that was really good and philosophical and wise. I was just thinking, how do I know I'm aging?
Yeah.
Well, I look at my parents and they're getting old and frail. Mm-hmm. And then that means something about me, right? By looking at the people around you as you watch your kids grow up, you can tell you're also older, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is I'm putting moisturizing creams on my face.
Uh-oh.
So the wrinkles and the set, I don't look like a prune, you know, which leads me to another comment. We do these Gateway to Freedom weekends, which are absolutely life-changing, wonderful weekends that any man, if you get a chance to treat yourself to one of those, wow, God shows up and blesses us. Anyway, one of the guys said, I heard your podcast. They came up. I heard you on the radio. I wanted to meet you. You're old. He thought I was 40 because I think I have like a youthful spirit. I'm 60, okay? Got no hair. I'm 60, and I'm putting moisturizing cream on my face. It was that's the reality of life, folks.
Steve, but that's why we do radio, is so that people just make up their own image with our voices. And
you have a great face for radio, you know? Too good. So, but we want to think about what God is teaching us to stir in you what God is teaching you. We're on a growth mission. Here's my basic line. Nobody knows what they're doing. We're all faking it. I've never been this age before. Have you been this age before? Have you been in this place and time before? You know, have you been a parent before? Have you been married in this stage of life before? Have you had a body like this at this age before? No. So we're all doing the best we can. So everybody just relax. And I heard a speaker recently, and he said, I'm going to give you a couple of big mistake tickets. And he stepped into the audience. He gave somebody two tickets. Here's two big mistakes for the next year. So just count on it. You're going to mess up. Give yourself grace. And it's like, I thought that was so powerful because we're going to mess up this year. And you and I, we did a program. I'm not going to mention the ministry, and I stumbled a little bit in what I said. It was a mess up. But God blessed me in the most powerful way, you know? But we have to give ourselves grace, you know, because that's who we are. We're humanity.
Well, and I think that's so powerful, especially in the ministry that we're in, because there's such high expectations.
Yes.
And here's the thing that I've found interesting in my own walk, and maybe this might apply a little bit to some areas that I feel like I've grown in life, not just in this last year, but over the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I entered into my recovery and started kind of going on this growth mission, what does it look like to not just clean up, but actually grow as a man? I started realizing that most, if not all, of the expectations that we have placed on ourselves that eventually lead to a sense of shame, you cannot find anywhere in the scriptures. You know, from God's perspective.
No, wait a minute. Clarify that, would you please?
Well, what I mean is we have the perfectionistic expectations that say, within my being, I have not only the ability, but I must be perfect.
Yes.
And it's like, there's nowhere in the scriptures that you're going to find that from God's perspective, he has the expectation that within ourselves and through our own ability, we can or should be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like there's this disconnect between our maker, the one who gives us our identity and says who we are and how he feels about us and how we end up living our lives. There's this disconnect because God looks at us and says, did you know that I already know and expect that you are going to fall, stumble, not do everything
yes.
right? You've got imperfection and weakness in your being. I know all of that and I embrace you anyway.
I love you.
Yeah. I want you.
I chose you. That's right.
But we're the ones that go, you know what, I can't even approach God with all of my imperfection and all my weakness, and so we place these massive expectations of perfection. So I feel like, I'm glad you mentioned that about like the big mistake tickets. It's like there is this sense that we need to, we're not diminishing the standard by admitting our weakness and that we stumble and that we fall. What we're doing is we're actually admitting our need
in humanity and brokenness
for the great grace that God has given us.
That's right. So this speaker said, living in grace and I'm walking in love. And I thought, I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start saying I'm living in grace. right? Then you know I'm humanity and it's not about me and let's get one thing straight. I'll tell you what I know, but I only know what I know. But there's so many more things and bigger and powerful things to know, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm glad we're encouraging one another. So I've had this fear. What if something I believed all my life was wrong? You know, what if you believed something and built your life around it and stood on it and then one day found out, well, that was wrong. But your life's over, and we're sorry, you know.
So thanks for playing.
Thanks for, that's it. You go, you know, to the back of the bus, or you can do the U-turn as you go forward here because you messed it up. So it's like I'm always trying to learn from others and from the scriptures and from God and from life. You know, what are the big things? Because if we do the big things well, then we're going to mess up in some of the little ones. But we're on the big mission, doing the big thing. Which is, I think we're doing a big thing on this radio show. We're having a conversation. We're men being honest. We're exposing brokenness. Mm-hmm. We're crying out to our Father, right? And we're saying, it's a journey. Pull somebody with you. Get in a group. Get in community. I mean, stay in church. Go to learn and grow.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is I think the big thing in terms of this radio program is we're inviting others to come along with us. And that's something that I don't think happens enough. You know, when people start realizing what is necessary for them to, like, in recovery, not only clean up, but then start growing, man, to me, you don't come full circle until you start reaching out and inviting others to come along the journey with you. You know, it's one thing for an individual to say, I'm recognizing what I need to do. I'm recognizing the big areas, like you're calling them, that I need to work on. And now I'm getting moving in that direction. It's a whole other thing that once you get moving in that direction, you realize, you know, this could probably benefit some other people.
Yes.
There's other people that could also benefit from this journey as well, and we need to invite them on it.
Yes, and you know what you said? Now you said it twice, and you're going to have to explain it because it is very powerful. I was doing my cleanup work, and then I moved from just cleaning it up to the growth mission, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now, can you explain that? Because some people out there are going, now, what's he talking about, clean it up versus growing?
What I mean is, when I say clean up, I mean this is when the brokenness, the messiness of an addiction, of a life that's out of control, that's way off track, there's sort of the aha moment of coming to the realization, the awareness that something's a mess, that something is not working right. So we think about a person that's addicted to pornography or some other forms of sexual acting out. And there is an initial stage in the whole recovery process that is saying, you know what, there are acres of junk that just need to be cleaned out. So that's these massive boulders of behavior and false ideas about relationships and sex and all this stuff that just needs to be cleaned up. Some needs to be cleaned out. Others need to be cleaned up. When I say clean out, I'm thinking, okay, listen, all the areas in which you are crossing behavioral lines, going to strip clubs, looking at pornography, that's the cleaned out stuff. You need to clean that stuff out. But then there's a clean up, and that's kind of the internal work, I think, that says, you know what, there's been some pretty dysfunctional and wrong thought patterns regarding how I view myself, how I view God, how I view others, how I've connected or disconnected in my relationships, and that's the clean up. And then from there, let's say now you've got a clean house, so to speak. In other words, you're not acting out. You've got proper ideas in your mind now about the way life is structured and how God has orchestrated things. Now, though, you have a decision. Is my whole life from this point going to be about just quote-unquote staying clean?
And stopping bad things and just stay here and stop the bad. Don't. It's about don't and never and boundary, and that's all I do is I hunker down.
Or is there from that point a growth mission? Am I about something that's purposeful and missional? That's kind of what we're talking about and getting into the idea of doing something that matters beyond yourself. So sort of the clean up is saying, yeah, there's things that just in me as an individual need to be cleaned up. Now when you start kind of flipping over into the growth mission, it's saying, I'm made for something bigger than myself, for in my marriage, with my children, in my community, in my world. And so that's where the growth mission happens, to say, you know, you start opening yourself up as a clean vessel to the God of the universe to say, how do you want to use me to do something significant for your kingdom and for your sake?
And that's the growth
mission.
And that's
the growth.
Yeah, that's perfect. You know, I've noticed once again that it's easy to start. Mm-hmm. And then people say, I'm going to do it. I've got it. Okay, understand it. But when you've done bad, wrong, evil, small for years and 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 years, boy, one awakening day, it's got to battle against years and years and years of routine. And so many a guy starts and then he falls off, you know.
And I think part of, you know, I would, when you said it's easy to start, initially I thought, yeah, and then I thought about my own life, and I thought, well, I had a lot of false starts. And so in a sense, okay, compared to maybe, you know, finishing and continuing and growing, yes, it's easier. But, you know, sometimes it's hard even just to make that initial confession of true brokenness. But I get what you're saying. It is easy in the sense that a guy goes, you know, he might have an emotional experience. He might feel the pain of his sin or whatever, and then realizes, I got to do something. And kind of in that moment of energy, he makes all these promises and decides he's going to be a different man. But like you said, he's got to fight against however many years of...
And then I've noticed, I'm going to finish this one thought and then we can go wherever you need to go. But that first 30 days, starting for 2 or 3 weeks, but if you can get past that first 30 days, it's important because it starts to weave in, and you got to hit the 90-day mark, and then you got to hit the 6-month mark. And so we're talking about growth missions, which are long missions that make significant change. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. We don't pretend it's easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and you just got to start with where you are. And that's why grace is so essential, because when you start where you are, man, it's a mess. There's all kinds of junk in your closet and all kinds of, you know, stuff strewn all over your life, so to speak. And so you need to be, you need to saturate yourself in grace-based environments with people who are safe that can really help you on that journey.
And I would jump from there to the thought that it's difficult in this culture, you know, to keep everything in perspective. We're supposed to do some quiet alone time. You know, we're supposed to, you know, just quiet ourselves and rest. And we're supposed to be quiet before God and you know, interact with Him. Then we're has to have relationship time with those around us. And then some entertainment time. And we're busy and we're tired and we're running. And it's difficult to keep all those pieces, you know, in order. But it's essential to do all of those. If you don't rest well, if you don't cry out to heaven well, if you don't have healthy relationship, and if you don't keep your entertainment in check, I mean, you can gorge on entertainment.
Well, and that kind of feeds into one of the things that I was wanting to point out about, you know, we're sort of, we've sort of taken an interesting little route in this program here, and we're trying to share some things about what we've learned. Some of them have been long-term things. Some of them have been more maybe in the last year. And one of the things you're mentioning there kind of fits into one of the things I've just learned, you know, in the last few years about life. And that's just that, man, seasons change. And there's a real difference that can happen in the pacing in some of these seasons. And I appreciate you saying about these various aspects of our lives that we need to try to kind of balance. And, you know, because I've got two teenagers now, and just the pace, we've entered a whole new season, and the pace of life, we've entered a new season in ministry here, where there's been multiple new opportunities for more ministry. And so, you know, I feel in some ways like, man, I'm in the season of hyperventilating and trying to, you know, keep my head above water. But one of the things I've learned there is that if you recognize that life is seasonal, then whatever season you're in, you know, is not permanent. Mm. So it's kind of like, yeah, some seasons are longer than others and some seasons are shorter. But if you recognize that it is seasonal, I mean, you can, if you've lived, you know, 20 years or more, you have enough history in your life to look back and see, listen, there, you can see that there are seasons in life. There have been times.
Yes.
And so I have felt like, okay, even though I feel like, man, I'm in a season that I feel like I'm getting run over with the pace of it, I'm able to actually have a sense of peace in it because I go, you know what? It's not going to last forever.
Right.
I don't know what's next. There could be a harder season next. I don't know. But it, the ebb and flow, being able to see that life is seasonal, that can help too in recovery. There are even seasons within recovery that are much more intense than others. And if you recognize that, you can maybe take a deep breath and take another day, another step forward, and not feel like it's all over because this is all that it's going to be forever.
And isn't, don't you sense God is stretching you and growing you with these opportunities, and you're trying to seek wisdom in your decisions? It's like he said, here's life. You get to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be the God, but you be the creation, and you unfold this. I've given you this thing that's almost a magical thing called life, and you get to make some decisions. Where are you going to eat? What are you going to do tonight? How are you going to entertain yourself?
Well, it's funny because you say that, and I think about right before we started this program today, you laid out like four different show options for me, and you're like, hey, why don't you decide? And I was like, you know what? I have too many decisions. You decide, Steve. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's good. And that is powerful because I think it's very smart of you to push it back on people because people will come to you, what do you want? You decide, put the pressure on you to say, no, it's okay. Adults can push it back on others, mm-hmm. and that's a lesson you're learning, right? So I appreciate your being open about that. Somebody told me this interesting thought, and it was a speaker. I'd like to give him credit. I don't know who said it, but they said, hey, where will that thought lead you?
Mm.
And, you know, it's like if it's a fearful thought or if it's a sexual thought or if it's just some thought that can lead to a bad place, if you say out loud, hey, where will that thought lead you? Then you can say, oh, I know where this goes. This is where I start worrying and get fearful and pull back and don't.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that a great line? Because I think along the line, along this journey of life, people are giving, we're learning from one another, picking up, right? And passing around. What did you learn? Oh, I've got this great scripture. I've got this insight. I'm repeating this to myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm throwing that out there as something that blessed me. Hey, where's that thought going to lead you if
That's
you
good.
Play with it?
And I was going to share too, because about things I've learned in group, you know, this last year, and just terms of getting together with men in group. And I think one of the things that I learned, not just this last year, but it seems to have come to light really this last year, is that you know, I think a lot of guys are scared of the scared boy inside of them.
Ooh, that's a good way to say it. They're scared of facing or confronting or going back to the scared boy inside that's...
Now, I want to try to frame this in a way that doesn't make it seem like, you know, a put down or, you know, a calling these guys out and a shame type comment. It's more of I see in that sort of apprehension or anxiety or fear about, you know, really letting the scared little boy be shown inside of them, I also see like this sense of I want a place where this scared little boy can come out and deal with his fears and all the things that he's been carrying privately, secretly for so long. And so it's like there's this battle that I see in group a lot of times where is this a safe enough environment for the little boy inside that I've been hiding for years to come out to run around, to get some, you know, relief and some insight and some growth. And so I've just noticed that in group. And so the reason I'm saying that is if you're in group, especially if you're a group leader out there,
I
want you to be aware of that, you know, what kind of environment are you creating in your group? Is it safe enough for the little scared boys inside of these men to come out and talk and share honestly about what they're afraid of and what they're carrying?
You know, that is so helpful because, you know, we could almost add a little piece to our group sessions that would say, the thing I most fear is And what the thing I try to hide from is, or the lies I tell about myself are, and it's like shame lies. I'm stupid, and mm-hmm. people won't like me, and I'm not like other people. It's amazing what we hear when guys come to our weekend retreat, that one of the things that's commonly said is, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm not alone. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was a walking freak show. But guess what? You guys are all half freaks yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And there's just some ability to stop and slow down and rest in that. I'm like everybody else.
And that's one thing I wanted to share, too, about the workshop. One of the things I learned this last year about our, you know, through our Gateway to Freedom workshop is just that God loves to show up when broken, scared men get honest.
Yes, that is good.
And I want that to sink into the listeners a little bit, because sometimes what's our false idea? We think, you know what, if I really got honest about my brokenness and my struggles, well, then that would send God away. And it's just the opposite. It's like when a group of men get together and say, you know what, we're going to just open it all up. It's like the Spirit of God just descends on that
and
community.
And it's the rest of God and the grace of God and mm-hmm. the peace of God. It just falls, and like raw humanity sits there.
And the reason I wanted to say that in juxtaposition with what I've learned in group about scared little boys inside is that guess what happens when that Spirit of God shows up in those groups? The fears start to dissipate. They start
yes.
to you start to feel a sense of an embrace. You feel wanted. You feel cared for. You feel safe.
At a very deep level,
yeah,
right? For the first time, some of the stuff you've been running and hiding is brought out, and it's not so scary,
mm-hmm.
right? When you put it in relationship to your brother's acceptance and the Father, you know, of grace showing up to say, you're still my boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's something powerful and healing in that. And you know what I've learned from going to the weekends is how gnarled up porn makes a man. It makes mm-hmm. him all gnarled up and twisted and bent, and he is not free. He's trapped in this, you know, web that's gnarly. What are ugly pictures of a scene of man caught him in a vines that wrap him up and tie him up, and he's trying to walk a life, and he's just all dragging baggage with him, and he can't get free. And it's just amazing how men's lives are so heavy, burdened, wasted, and destroyed. And yet he thought, I'll look at this fun little stuff, and it'll mm-hmm. set me free.
Well, and that's why I think it's powerful that you said that one of the most common things that these men experience at these workshops is that they're not alone. Because that's a lot of, I mean, getting gnarled up and trapped and strangled by this, that's a lot to carry alone.
Yes.
And it's something that cannot be overcome alone. And so it's really, I think that's a powerful connection that they make, is that, oh, here this thing that I thought I could go do off by myself that would, quote, set me free has instead trapped me. And here now I'm in a group of men that I'm realizing are struggling the same way I am, but we can help each other in our journey to freedom. And so it's like, oh, you know, it's like just so many dots start connecting in those settings.
So you have anything else on your list? I have one more. You want to go?
I had one other thing that I wanted to share, especially about what I've learned about in relationships.
Okay.
And that is that we need safe people in order to just be able to expose our lives and just share life with. And the first person that came to my mind was my wife. You know, we need people in our lives. And I'm not saying it's always a spouse, but I mean, we need people in our lives that we can just sort of, you know what? Whatever's going on around in the rest of life,
Amen.
You have sort of an anchor. You have somebody that you can really kind of rely on and just come, you know, pour into.
And so my closing thought is this: God is God, good is good, right is right, truth is truth, and I am loved.
Mm.
That's the close.
So we hope that you live in grace and walk in love.
Amen.
And, we hope this has been at least a helpful broadcasting your own journey, and we would love to hear your story. So please contact us at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us online at puresexradio.com. And we'll see you back here again next week on the program.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.